It is July 2026.
Oh, yeah, it is a hot one,
It
too.
really is. And, you know, the PS5 Pro is officially out in the wild.
I knew that.
Right. And PC gamers right now are like literally mortgaging their houses to build these monstrous rigs powered by the new RTX 5080s.
It's crazy what people are spending.
It is. Because everyone, and I mean everyone, is just holding their breath, gearing up for the impending cultural earthquake that is the release of Grand Theft Auto the Sixth.
You can practically feel the electricity in the air.
You really can. People have been meticulously planning their hardware upgrades for months, spending hundreds or even thousands of dollars to ensure they're ready for this ultimate next-gen experience.
It's the kind of hardware anticipation we just haven't seen in a very long time. I mean, people want every single frame to be completely flawless.
Exactly.
They are pulling out all the stops for the fastest SSDs, the most robust processors, checking every single box on the spec sheet.
Right, but today we're going to look at an incredibly painful truth.
Yeah, a truth that a lot of people are ignoring.
100%. Our source material for this deep dive is a really eye-opening analytical teardown from the Teakin Game team. It's titled The Ultimate QD-OLED Monitor Guide 2026.
It's a fantastic read.
It really is. And the mission of this guide is to expose a major blind spot that is, well, probably sitting on your desk right now.
Your monitor.
Your monitor. Think about it. You might have been meticulously assembling this absolute processing behemoth, only to realize that you are looking at all that expensive next-gen power through what is essentially a dirty window.
Yeah, that is the perfect way to put it.
Treating your monitor as an afterthought isn't just a slight bottleneck. It is completely choking your entire gaming experience.
Yeah.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because to understand where we are right now in 2026, we have to perform a little autopsy on the technology we are leaving behind.
We really do. We
Yeah.
have to look backward at the downfall of older tech to truly appreciate why this new standard is so revolutionary.
For sure.
Because for over a decade, IPS panels in plane switching were the undisputed champions for PC gamers.
Right, they were everywhere.
They were. They gave us decent colors and wide viewing angles, and alongside them, you had VA panels or vertical alignment.
Oh, VA panels. Those always had that terrible black smearing effect, right?
Exactly. When things moved fast on screen, it looked like a blurry mess, but they had slightly better contrast. But now, in 2026, the guide makes it incredibly clear that both of these legacy technologies are officially obsolete for high-end gaming.
And the folks at Taking Game point out that the fundamental flaw killing both IPS and VA panels comes down to a single archaic mechanism, the backlight.
That is the Achilles heel. It really is. To understand why, you have to look at how an LCD actually works under the hood.
Okay, break it down for us.
So, in any traditional LCD or IPS display, the pixels themselves do not generate any light at all.
Wait, really? None.
None. They're just tiny, sophisticated shutters with color filters over them. In order for you to actually see the image, there has to be a powerful light source sitting right behind them, just pushing white light through those shutters.
Like shining a flashlight through a stained glass window.
Exactly like that. The liquid crystals physically twist to either block the light or let it through. But here's the critical issue: that backlight is always on.
So even when it's supposed to be black.
Yep. Even when a specific pixel is commanded to display the color black, that liquid crystal shutter can never close perfectly. Light always leaks through the cracks.
Which creates a massive problem for contrast. The source describes this phenomenon called blooming, or the halo effect.
Oh, I hate the halo effect.
It's the worst. Picture this. You're playing a game with an intensely dark environment, but there's a very bright object on the screen.
Like a glowing star in a night sky.
Or even just crisp white subtitles at the bottom of the screen. Because those liquid crystal pixels can't act as perfect brick walls, they can't completely block that blinding backlight behind the dark areas.
Right.
So the light literally bleeds through the edges into the dark pixels around it. It turns what is supposed to be an absolute terrifying pitch black night into this murky, washed out dark gray.
It completely destroys the depth of the image. And it's especially devastating for 9th and 10th generation games that are built heavily on ray tracing and extreme contrast.
Like Resident Evil.
Exactly, Resident Evil or Alan Wake 2. The horror, the tension, I mean, the entire mood of those games relies on the stark juxtaposition between blinding light and absolute darkness.
The source has a brutal analogy for this. They say that using an IPS monitor for modern graphics is exactly like taking a meticulously engineered Ferrari engine, ripping it out, mounting it onto a cheap, heavy, rusted-out chassis, and then being surprised when it doesn't handle like a supercar.
It's harsh, but it's true.
Wait, I have to push back here for a second, though. I just looked at a high-end mini LED box at the store yesterday, and it bragged all over the packaging about local dimming zones. Doesn't that fix the backlight problem by just turning off the light behind the dark areas of the screen?
I mean, it's a great piece of marketing, but it doesn't actually solve the physics problem.
Really? How so?
Well, mini LEDs are certainly an improvement over a standard single backlight IPS panel. They shrink the backlight down into thousands of tiny LEDs, but they still fundamentally suffer from blooming.
Okay, why is that?
Let's just do the math. A 4K monitor has over 8 million pixels.
Right.
Even the most advanced mini LED monitor might only have, say, 1,100 dimming zones.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That means a single dimming zone is still illuminating a cluster of over 7,000 pixels.
So if just one of those needs to be bright.
Exactly. If even one of those 7,000 pixels needs to be bright white, that entire zone has to light up, which grays out the other 6,999 pixels around it. You still get that glowing halo.
So the only true solution is a self-emissive display. Which brings us to OLED.
Because there is no backlight at all.
That's wild to think about.
It is. In an OLED panel, every single one of those 8 million pixels is its own independent light source.
So if it needs to be black?
That individual pixel simply shuts off entirely. Complete power cut. Zero light emitted.
That's incredible.
This creates what we call infinite contrast. It's not just a darker shade of black. It creates a literal 3D depth to the image. When you walk into a dark room in Alan Wake 2 on an OLED, you aren't just looking at a flat picture of a dark room. You are standing directly in the heart of darkness.
Which is terrifying and exactly what the developers intended. Oh. Okay, so if the backlight is the enemy, the self-emissive OLED is the hero. But I've seen OLED on TVs for years, usually from brands like LG.
Sure, yeah.
But this guide specifically demands a fourth generation QD OLED as the mandatory 2026 standard.
Yeah.
What is the QD doing that makes it so much better than the OLEDs we've had for years?
This is where the engineering gets incredibly clever. For a long time, the traditional OLED market was dominated by a technology called WOL.
Which stands for white OLED, right?
Exactly. In those panels, all the self-emissive pixels produce a stark white light. To get colors, that white light has to be pushed through red, green, and blue color filter.
Okay, but a filter, wait, think about how a filter works. It inherently absorbs and blocks light.
Bingo. Because so much of the light energy is lost in the filter, walled monitors have traditionally struggled with a major low brightness issue.
Right, so if you have your rig set up in a well-lit room with the sun shining in, a walled screen can look incredibly dim and lifeless.
Exactly. Walled loses energy just trying to make the colors. But QD OLED, which was developed by Samsung Display and is now used by Alienware, MSI, and Asus, takes a completely different approach.
They ditch the white light entirely, don't they?
They do. Instead, the base layer is a pure, incredibly powerful blue OLED. And instead of shining that blue light through a filter that absorbs energy, it shines it directly into a layer of quantum dots.
And quantum dots are truly wild physics.
Oh, it's pure magic. They are microscopic synthetic nanocrystals. When they are struck by that pure blue light, they don't filter it. They become excited and react to it.
So they glow on their own.
Yes. Depending on the physical size of the nanocrystal, it will emit a specific color. A slightly larger dot will glow perfectly pure red. A smaller one will glow perfectly pure green. And they do this at an efficiency rate close to 100%. None of the light energy is blocked or wasted. It's a completely different, highly efficient mechanism of creating color.
Okay, it sounds like traditional WOLD is like putting a thick lampshade over a light bulb. Sure, you get the color of the lampshade, but you lose half the actual light in the room.
Right.
But QD OLED is more like hitting a tuning fork. The blue light acts as the strike, and it perfectly resonates those quantum dots to create completely new colors without losing any of the original energy.
The tuning fork is a perfect way to look at it because the key difference here is that direct energy transfer. And that efficiency translates to the most saturated, brilliant colors ever seen on a commercial display while easily cutting through the glare of a bright room.
But it wasn't always as good, right?
No, we have to recognize that getting to this point took time. The first generation of QD OLED hit the market in 2022, and it had some growing pains.
Oh, I remember. The biggest issue was color fringing around text. It made reading documents or coding really, really frustrating.
Yeah, it was a deal breaker for a lot of people. Then in 2023 through 2025, the second and third generations arrived. They focused heavily on pushing the brightness up and achieving those crazy ultra-high refresh rates.
Like hitting up to 360 hertz?
Exactly. And finally bringing 4K resolution down to normal 32-inch desk monitors. But the source claims it wasn't until right now, with the fourth generation in 2026, that they actually achieved perfection.
They hit 1,300 nits of overall peak brightness, added advanced anti-reflective coatings, and totally redesigned the pixel structure.
What's fascinating here is how that redesigned pixel structure finally conquered the text legibility issue. For years, the physical layout of the red, green, and blue subpixels in OLEDs was arranged in a weird triangular pattern instead of the standard vertical stripes Windows was designed for.
Right, so gamers who also use their PCs for productivity, like programming, writing, reading long articles, they hesitated to buy OLEDs because the text just looked slightly blurry.
Or it had a weird colored shadow hanging off the letters. But the fourth generation completely resolved that by altering the subpixel shape and layout.
So these monitors are now just as crisp and reliable for reading endless lines of code or spreadsheets as the legacy IPS panels were.
It removed the absolute last compromise.
Awesome. So we have perfectly crisp text, blindingly bright colors, and absolute infinite black.
Check, check, and check.
That's amazing for looking at a beautiful static photograph. But games are not static. Games are pure motion. And that brings us to the ultimate stress test that everyone is upgrading for right now.
Grand Theft Auto 6.
Exactly. Rockstar's Rage Engine is famously demanding, and the leaps they've made for this new iteration are just staggering.
We're talking about incredibly complex volumetric lighting, rendering the rainy, neon-drenched nights of Leonida and Vice City.
Yeah, the engine is built on extreme dynamic contrasts and rapid day-to-night transitions.
There was actually a leaked interview back in 2025 with the Rage Graphics Engine lead developer.
Oh, I remember that.
They explicitly stated that when they were implementing their new global illumination system, they realized traditional LCD screens physically could not handle the speed of the frame transitions in their fast-paced night scenes.
The screens literally just couldn't keep up with the math the console was doing.
Exactly.
The guide points out a massive marketing lie that we've all been sold for years. You look at the box of a high-end IPS gaming monitor, and it boldly claims 1 millisecond response time.
Which is just not true.
Not at all. Because IPS relies on physically twisting liquid crystals, they have viscosity, they have physical drag. The actual physical time it takes for those crystals to change state fluctuates between 3 to 5 milliseconds.
Right. But QD OLED doesn't use liquid crystals at all. Its physical pixel response time is exactly 0.03 milliseconds.
It is genuinely instantaneous. But I'm going to play the skeptic for a second, because here's where it gets really interesting. Is a jump from 3 milliseconds down to 0.03 milliseconds actually something my human eye can perceive? Or is this just one of those numbers on a spreadsheet that hardware companies use to justify charging us another $1,000?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it's not just perceptible. It fundamentally changes your physiological interaction with the game world.
Okay, explain that.
Let's talk about motion clarity. Imagine you are driving a sports car down the neon-lit streets of Vice City at 200 kilometers per hour.
Sounds fun.
Or you're rapidly panning your camera to check your six in a competitive shooter. On an IPS monitor, because those liquid crystals take 3 to 5 milliseconds to physically twist into their new position, the previous frame is still lingering on the screen while the new frame is trying to draw.
Oh, so that creates ghosting.
Exactly. The surrounding environment becomes a slightly blurry, stretched smear.
But on a QD OLED at 0.03 milliseconds, the transition is instantaneous.
Every single frame remains as sharp and crystal clear as a still photograph, no matter how fast you spin the camera.
So that's why they say the game running at 60 frames per second on an OLED actually looks smoother and sharper than a game running at 100 frames per second on an old LCD monitor. The blur is just a hardware failure, not a game engine failure.
Precisely. And this flawless motion clarity becomes a massive secret weapon in competitive online matches. You can physically track moving targets with more precision because they aren't turning into a blurry smear when they sprint across your screen.
Well, that makes total sense.
And when you factor in the synergy with the PS5 Pro, it gets even better. The PS5 Pro's powerful GPU utilizes PSSR PlayStation's Spectral Super Resolution.
Right, that's their AI image reconstruction tech.
Yeah. Instead of crushing the GPU by forcing it to natively render every single pixel in 4K, the console renders the game at a lower resolution and uses a neural network to intelligently fill in the missing details, upscaling it to pristine 4K.
Which saves so much processing power that the console can easily hit 120 frames per second.
And combining that 120Hz frame rate with the absolute lack of motion blur on an OLED panel results in a visual fluidity that most people have quite literally never experienced.
Okay, so visually it's a knockout. Technically it's a knockout. But we can't do this deep dive without addressing the massive, incredibly stubborn elephant in the room.
I know exactly what you're going to say.
The psychological barrier holding almost every buyer back. The deep-seated fear of burn-in.
It is the oldest and most justified fear regarding any organic display. The fear that if you leave a static image on the screen for too long, like the minimap in GTA or your weapon status bar or a glowing HUD.
Yeah, that bright static image will permanently degrade those specific pixels, leaving a ghostly silhouette etched into your expensive screen forever.
It's a real fear.
It is. But the Tekken Game Guide states that in 2026, this dossier is officially closed. So how did they actually fix it? Because telling a gamer, you know, just don't play a game with a HUD for too long is not a real solution.
No, it's not. Manufacturers finally launched a two-pronged attack, physical hardware and AI software.
Let's start with the hardware.
They realized that heat is the number one enemy of organic pixels. When pixels get hot, their organic compounds degrade faster. So in the fourth generation models from companies like MSI and Asus, they introduced custom graphene heat sinks.
Graphene, okay.
Yeah, yep. Graphene is a 2D material, a single layer of carbon atoms arranged in a hexagonal lattice. Because of its atomic structure, it is a nearly perfect conductor of heat.
Oh, wow.
They place this graphene layer directly behind the panel. It acts like a thermal highway with no speed limit, actively absorbing and pulling heat away from the pixels in fractions of a second.
So this keeps the pixels completely cool and stable, even when the monitor is blasting at peak HDR brightness.
Exactly. So that's the hardware side. And for software, they implemented something called AI Pixel Shift.
How does that work?
The monitor has its own onboard processor constantly working in the background. Every few minutes, it imperceptibly moves the entire image on the screen by just a single pixel.
Well, you don't even notice it while you're playing.
You don't even notice it. Plus, it actively scans the video signal to detect static elements, like a TV channel logo or the game's minimap, and it locally dims just those specific pixels to relieve the stress on them.
While keeping the rest of the game world perfectly bright.
Yes.
That is wild. Mm. And that combination of graphene thermal management and AI pixel manipulation led to the ultimate safety net. In 2026, global brands like Dell Alienware, MSI, Corsair, and Asus are all offering a standard 3-year warranty that explicitly, in writing, covers burn-in.
If your screen gets image retention within 3 years, you get a brand new replacement, no questions asked.
So basically, they've built a microscopic air conditioning system out of carbon atoms for the pixels, hired an AI stage manager to constantly turn down the lights on static logos, and then threw a bulletproof insurance policy on top, just in case.
This raises an important question, though. Why did it take until 2026 for manufacturers to confidently offer these robust, no-questions-asked warranties?
What do you think?
It's because the fourth-generation panels finally reached a level of maturity where the failure rate dropped low enough to make it financially viable. Corporations aren't giving away warranties out of the goodness of their heart.
Oh, definitely not.
They're doing it because the engineering, the graphene, the AI, finally made the tech durable enough that they won't lose money standing behind it.
Right. So if the AI and graphene have finally given us a bulletproof 3-year warranty, the last remaining hurdle isn't the technology failing us, it's the marketing departments.
Oh, always.
How do we navigate the current store shelves to find this fourth-gen tech without getting scammed by old inventory? The guide actually breaks the market down into 3 distinct tiers based on what kind of gamer you are, plus a mandatory buyer's checklist.
Let's start with the hardware you actually want to look for. The guide highlights 3 market kings. First, you have the 4K Monarch.
Oh, that's the Alienware AW3226QF.
Yes, it's a 32-inch 4K panel running at 240Hz. It features a glossy coating, precise factory calibration, and crucially, Dolby Vision support.
And Dolby Vision is incredible because instead of applying a static HDR brightness setting to the entire game, It uses dynamic metadata to adjust the brightness and contrast on a frame-by-frame basis, perfectly optimizing every single scene.
Exactly. Second, you have the immersion behemoth, the Samsung Odyssey OLED G9 2026 edition.
That thing is huge.
This is a massive 49-inch super ultra-wide monitor with a 32.9 aspect ratio and a matte anti-reflective coating. Finally, you have the budget killer.
The MSI MPG 320 2UR-X24.
Right. It still delivers 4K and 240Hz, plus the modern DisplayPort 2.1A standard, but at a price point that makes it incredible value.
Okay, well, if I want the absolute ultimate mind-blowing PS5 Pro setup for GTA Stay, I should just grab that massive 49-inch Samsung immersion behemoth, wrap it around my vision, and call it a day.
Mm-hmm.
Bigger is always better.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that is exactly the trap the source warns about.
Wait, really?
We have to read the fine print on console compatibility.
Yeah.
Sony's PS5 consoles still do not officially support ultra-wide aspect ratios like 21.9 or 32.9.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. If you spend all that money on the 49-inch Samsung and plug your PS5 Pro into it, you aren't going to get a massive immersive window into Vice City. The console can't stretch the image properly.
So what happens?
You are going to get a standard 16.9 box trapped in the dead center of the screen, flanked by incredibly thick, useless black bars on either side.
Ouch. That is a very expensive mistake to make.
That specific monitor is exclusively recommended for PC gamers.
This is exactly why the source provides a 3-point buyer's checklist. You have to check these specs before you swipe your card. First up, full bandwidth HDMI 2.1.
This is absolutely critical for the PS5 Pro.
Right. The port needs to handle 48 gigabits of data per second to push 4K resolution at 120Hz with HDR turned on.
And if you buy a cheaper monitor with limited bandwidth, you force the console into something called chroma subsampling.
Which is terrible.
To explain that simply, it's basically extreme JPEG compression for your video cable. Because human eyes are more sensitive to brightness than color, the cable saves bandwidth by keeping the brightness data intact, but forcing neighboring pixels to share the exact same color data.
It essentially cuts the color resolution in half, which makes fine text look blurry and causes colors to bleed into each other. You lose the exact fidelity you bought the OLED for.
Exactly. Second on the checklist is the screen coating. You have to choose between glossy and matte, and it entirely depends on your room.
Alienware uses a glossy finish, right?
Yeah, it makes the absolute blacks look incredibly inky and the colors pop off the screen, but it acts almost like a mirror. If you have a bright room with lots of windows, a matte finish, like on the Samsung models, is vastly superior because it scatters the incoming light to diffuse glare.
That makes sense. And the third point is firmware update capability. The monitor absolutely must have a USB port and dedicated software to receive patches.
Right, because OLED tech is constantly evolving, and companies actively push updates to fix weird bugs.
Like, for example, some early monitors suffered from gamma flicker.
Oh, yeah, where dark scenes would faintly, rapidly pulse when variable refresh rate was enabled during frame drops.
You need to be able to download the manufacturer's patch to fix issues like that. A monitor is no longer just a passive pane of glass. It's a complex, actively managed piece of hardware that needs to communicate flawlessly with your system.
It really is.
So what does this all mean? The editor-in-chief of Taking Game put it perfectly. Upgrading from an old IPS monitor to a QD OLED is vastly more impactful than upgrading your graphics card.
I completely agree.
You buy a powerful GPU to render incredible details. But if your monitor physically cannot display the infinite contrast, the pure colors, and the instant motion clarity, then your money has literally gone up in smoke. Your GPU is doing brilliant math that you will never, ever see.
It really shifts your perspective on where the bottleneck in gaming technology has actually been hiding all this time.
It does.
And it leaves us with something much deeper to consider. Building on the fact that these 2026 OLEDs give us infinite contrast and the literal ability to render absolute, true, perfectly dark pixels.
Yeah.
Well, if our screens are now physically capable of plunging the player into flawless darkness, how is this going to change the psychology of game design moving forward?
Oh, that's an interesting thought.
Will the developers of tomorrow pivot away from simply adding more visual clutter, more polygons, and more lighting effects? Will they instead start using sensory deprivation and absolute blackness as a deliberate tool to manipulate our emotions?
Wow.
Are we entering an era where what you can't see on screen becomes infinitely more terrifying and thrilling than what you can?
That is a phenomenal question to ponder the next time you boot up a horror game or step into an unlit alleyway in Vice City. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. You are now fully equipped to step out of the murky gray fog of old technology and onto the brilliantly lit, perfectly contrasted neon streets of the next generation. We'll see you out there.